Hey, I'm Troy here today with Carrasco coming out of College Station. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Phil, play bass guitar.
Carlos, play cowbell, as well as many other different types of drums.
I'm Aaron, and I sing and play guitar.
Sweet, guys. And how often would you say you guys get to, like, leave College Station? Like, how often you guys play out in this area especially?
This area, not as much as we'd like to. We've been here 3 or 4 times, maybe.
We've definitely been to Nephews.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's just make this interview about Nephews.
Can we do that? Also, no. If DJ Chow happens to be listening, yes, please contact us.
Yeah, DJ Chow, we would love to work with you in the studio.
No, but we're out of College Station as often as possible. I guess we try for, like, every other weekend.
Yeah, as often as we can, because in College Station, we play to a very similar crowd most shows. I mean, it's hard to pull a lot of the college kids in because the music scene is in downtown Bryan and A&M is in College Station, and the scenes don't mix as well as you maybe would want them to.
Right.
So we tend to play to the same group of people when we play shows in College Station. So getting out is really
exciting.
It's exciting, and it's how we spread our music to more people because, like I said, everyone that comes to our shows has seen us 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. So we're getting out to new audiences and new demographics and new groups of other music scenes.
Cool. And speaking of your music, I hear that you guys are working on a new album. Can you tell me a little more about that?
I mean, that is the word around the playgrounds.
Yeah. Album?
Yeah, album.
Playground.
Yeah, playground album.
That's a new name. We got it. We're done.
But yes, we are. October, first week of October, we are recording in New Mexico. We're hoping that it is... we have enough material and we have the songs figured out for when we get there, because we have a very strict deadline of, like, you have to be here this day, this time, ready to go.
So we have to be kind of touchy because there's a lot of it that we can't talk about yet.
Yeah. Super secret.
But it is exciting. So you follow us on all the social media things, which I'm sure we'll get to. We'll have surprises.
We'll shout those out. Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of sound can people expect for the new stuff?
So the EP that we have out right now is mostly, it was all written on acoustic guitar, and it's not, like, super heavy hitting. There are some songs that, like, we play now from there, but they don't sound the same because we have a new drummer. Drummer that didn't play on that album. And we just, like, we're way more comfortable playing around each other now. And it's been, like, almost 2 years since we recorded it. So this new album is going to be more aggressive, more dynamic, and I think a lot more with a lot more focus on, like, the songwriting aspect of it too. So I think more aggressive indie rock would be kind of what to expect.
Cool.
Yeah.
And is it all released by you, or are you releasing it through, like, an independent label?
We don't know yet.
Yeah, that's a big question mark. We need to figure out, like, what to do once we finish it.
Right.
And figure out what our options are.
Cool. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys mostly play, have you ever guys ever, like, played outside of Texas yet?
We have. We have gone on 2 separate, like, U.S. tours. Yeah. We went the first time, we did, like, the Southeast. So we did Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and then back to Texas. And then the second time we went, that was in the late summer last year. And then early fall, we did, like, a 3-week break between that tour. And then on the second one, we went all the way up to Wisconsin and then across to New Hampshire.
And then back down
and came back down the East Coast.
Wow, how long was that?
So the first one was like 2 weeks.
I think they were both about 2 week runs.
Yeah, we had more shows on the East Coast tour. Like, we played almost every day. Like, it was get up, drive, play show, go to sleep, get up, drive. I mean, it was that for, like, 11 straight days.
Or play show, drive, keep driving.
Yeah.
Then die.
We slept in a Walmart parking lot in Pennsylvania somewhere because it was too far. We had to make up a lot of, like, driving time to get to Mimic City.
You're driving from Pittsburgh to South Jersey.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, but if you're from Texas, it's not that big of a deal. Like, everyone that we talked to up there, like, we had a show in Boston, and kids were like, oh my God, you guys are from Texas. I go, yeah, but it's, like, halfway here is getting out of Texas. Like, it's not, like, to them, driving 2 hours was just this astronomical thing. And I was like, you have to drive 2 hours to get anywhere in Texas. Yeah. I go, sometimes 6 hours, and you're still in the state. So that was an interesting dynamic. Like, when we talked to people, like, up north, like, they just couldn't comprehend, like how far away from home we were, and I was like, you don't understand, like this is normal, like we don't, it's not a big deal to drive 8 hours, you know,
to get somewhere.
Like, yeah, you have to do that every day.
Yeah. So how did you guys like the tour life? It was like,
it was, I actually liked it. I had, yeah, so I have a more nocturnal schedule. Right. So, but it really wasn't that hard to acclimate to us getting up between 8 and 10 every morning to get up and drive. Like, that actually wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. That was my biggest concern going into tour. I was like, I'm going to be a zombie.
That was also our biggest concern.
Waking Philip was,
yeah, yeah, because yeah, I'm just not a morning person, not a coffee person. It's just, but it, yeah, it actually went really smoothly. Mm-hmm. And for being in a van with three other dudes for as long as we were, we did not have one instance where we were like at each other's throats or frustrated, mm-hmm, or fought, or so I don't know if that's normal, unnormal, whatever, but it was a very cohesive relationship.
Yeah. I loved it. Yeah. I quit a job right before to go, mm-hmm, on tour, and so I let go of an engineering job and got in a van that we got on Craigslist and hit the road, and I don't think it could have been like any better transition from like desk job to, you know, being basically homeless.
Yeah. Did you hear that, kids? Quit your college jobs. Buy a van.
Being go on the road. Incredibly irresponsible.
Go on the road. It'll all work out for you.
Wait, are the kids listening?
Sure.
I hope not.
Not right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was incredible.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Carlos and I had both had desk jobs and were both very not happy with that way of life, I guess. Mm-hmm. And music has been something that all of us have wanted to do for Lord knows how long. Mm-hmm. And so, like,
27 years.
Years. So even without like the backing of like a label or anything, like just being able to say that we did it and we did it on our own was, yeah, like super gratifying. And
we survived.
And we survived. Yeah, Phil and I both. Phil and I both got
the
flu. Yeah. I'm pretty sure sometime between Wisconsin and
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, and so like for 3 or 4 days, we were just useless to the world.
The show in Pittsburgh, we played at this really cool venue called Howlers, and
that was pretty cool.
It was like an old dirty dive bar that had a rise stage in it and held probably 150, 200 people maybe, and my head was, I was just sweating profusely, but my hands were frozen because my fever was so high. And I was just like, my nose was running the whole time we were playing. And I was just like, but it was still better than being at work.
Right. Yes.
And like, I don't know if anyone out there listening understands it, but it's like to wake up on the road and you are essentially your own boss in a way. Like, we didn't have anyone tell, like, we did what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it. And that was like the first time that I had ever experienced like that kind of freedom where you're just like, okay, like this is my passion, this is what I want to do, this is better than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like owning your own business but not really having to go to work, if, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Jerry's gonna try to like do that more often. You're gonna try to like,
oh, we would like, tour, like, we would love thing to. It's so expensive to tour though because of the gas and the food. And now if you want to do it on the cheap, like there are ways to do it, but it's a lot of work to do it on the cheap too. So it's a give and take, whatever you want to try to figure out. But if you can find people to stay with and save money on hotels, like, it is doable. Mm-hmm. And if you have the right group of people, like, we played with some of, like, we played in Peoria, Illinois, where people just donated money to us. They were like, here's $10 and I'm gonna buy a t-shirt too. Or here's $20 for gas, or here's whatever. And we ran into like 3 or 4 of those along the tour, that if it hadn't been for that, like, we were tapping into our own bank accounts, like, to the point where we all got back and we were almost broke. But had it not been for those groups of people along the way, like, mm-hmm, that made it where we could sustain ourselves and not have to come home.
I mean, it didn't help that we, like, blew up a trailer. And,
oh, yeah.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the party got kind of crazy when we blew up the trailer.
Man, Topo Chico, am I right?
Yeah.
We blew up a trailer and we had, like, $700 worth of van repairs on the road and...
Yeah, typical tour.
Typical tour.
Yeah. What happened to the trailer?
It was split in half.
We overnighted from... Okay, so our steering gave out before we even left Texas. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, $700. Yeah. Emptied our, like, the band account. Yeah, emptied the bank account to fix our steering so we wouldn't, like, die. Because we were swerving in and out of morning traffic.
That's bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It's still not great, but we've survived so far.
And now we're August.
Yeah.
For a second.
So
it was the first of September.
inside joke. So we did that. Then we played a show in Oklahoma, and then had to overnight to
Peoria,
Illinois. And so we finished that 12-hour drive.
Yeah, like. it was a lot.
Yeah, and we stopped at a gas station. We noticed that the trailer's sitting kind of funny. And after, you know, further analysis,
we all did the thing where you stand behind something and you tilt your head to the side to see if you can figure out if it's straight or not.
Yeah, and
the scientific ways, of course.
Yeah, we checked under, and the frame of the trailer was completely broken on both sides in front of the tires.
All that was holding it together was
like the plywood.
The plywood that was attached to the frame in the front and the back. So it's
plywood and wishful thinking.
Yeah, like the walls and the ceiling were what was holding it together. And I'm amazed that nothing fell out of the bottom of this thing. It was unbelievable. It was still together.
If you look on our social media, you can see pictures of all the trailer.
Yeah, we had to abandon that.
Yeah, we just left. We took it to a guy in Illinois, and we were like, hey, can this be fixed? How much? How long? And kind of thing. He was like, ugh. He's like, I can fix it. He goes, but I can't guarantee you it's going to make it. Because this was like day three of the tour. Like, we had to go to Wisconsin, all the way across the East Coast, or to the East Coast, and then all the way back to Texas. And he's like, it's not going to make it that far. He goes, so, and plus it was going to be like $600 or $700 to fix it. And he was like, you know, so figure out what you want to do. So we left it. And then the biggest miracle on the earth happened. We find a U-Haul guy in Wisconsin named Eugene. And I wish I remembered his last name, but yeah, shout out to Eugene. Blessings to him. Janesville, Wisconsin, yes, is where Eugene is at the U-Haul place. He let us have a trailer for, it was like $14 a day or something like that, which is that's the cheapest thing I've ever heard of.
It was supposed to be like a $900 thing. He gave it to us for $200, waived all the fees, and
let us return it to Texas, which is also another fee. Waive that, and then we were like, dude, here's a t-shirt and some stickers and some CDs. I mean, had it not been for him, because we didn't have enough room in the car with all of our bags and stuff, and us, like, there just was not enough room to carry all of our stuff. So had Eugene, shout out to Eugene, not helped us out, like, that was what kept tour alive, was Eugene in Janesville, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Nice. So I hope he somehow finds this, because
I would have given him my first.
That dude's a rock star. Like that. And but what's funny is that
he was a rock star.
He was in a band. Like, he was in a band with his brother and some people. Like, when he was younger, and he was a drummer, and they were talking about drums as we're like loading stuff into the U-Haul. He's like, oh yeah, killer dude. He's like, this is awesome. He's like, I want to go with you guys. And we were like, dude, Eugene, get in the car. Like, let's go. But he had to stay at the U-Haul place.
He
had to make more dreams come true. Yeah. Like, he made our dreams come true. Because we would have had to have gone home. Because we didn't have enough money to afford it. I mean, it was going to be like $900 to rent a U-Haul to take all the way for as many days as we needed and then return it back to Texas.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. That was nuts.
So, shout out to Eugene.
Yeah. Tour stories.
You guys, when you guys do like those big tours, are most of the places you play, are they like more like DIY, like house show style?
Yeah.
Most of them,
yeah. Some of it. It's about 50-50 on those.
Yeah, DIY houses was probably about 50-50.
Usually the house shows would turn out better than the venues. Mm-hmm. Because, when we played in Peoria, Illinois, we played in Janesville, Wisconsin, we played in outside of Boston, all house shows, and those were the three best shows of tour. Packed venues, you know, people showing up. But it's an attest to the community and the people that support their local music scene. Because we run into a problem sometimes where, like, you play at music venues and the people that work there don't care, the sound guy doesn't care, you know.
Or the sound guy doesn't even know you're supposed to be playing.
Yeah, sound guy doesn't know. And some bands pull better than other bands in their hometowns, and it's just, you know, but, like, at house shows, like, it's more intimate, it's more of, like, a community, like, you just feel like it's a closer kind of knit kind of group. And so, like, I do prefer house shows on the road, I guess, even though you don't have the luxuries of, like, monitors or, like, you know, like, lights and that kind of stuff, but more often than not, it turns out to be a better show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. So, and you guys' music, you said you described it as like a kind of an indie rock, kind of a heavier indie rock. What would you say like you guys' influences are?
Definitely Weird Al. Yeah. Dixie Chicks. Faith Hill, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I was talking to someone the other day about VH1, like in the morning from, you know, like early 2000s, late 1990s. Mm-hmm. And I just like started remembering all those songs. That,
you mean when they used to play music on,
yeah,
on TV?
Yeah, music videos in the morning.
You go first?
So I listen to a lot of like Manchester Orchestra, Thrice, Bright Eyes, Brand New, stuff that like lies in that genre-ish, but yeah, there's a whole bunch of other stuff, but those are the main things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I came from like a heavier background, so I grew up on Under Oath, Silverstein, you know, all those guys. Every Time I Die, you know, I'm a heavy hitter.
It's true. That's, he breaks stuff.
I do. I break all the things. Mm-hmm. That's where I come from.
I'm a little bit older than these guys, so I was way into like the pop punk stuff, like in the early 2000s. I'm talking like Blink, Sum 41, like All American Rejects, Fall Out Boy, like
Killers,
like that kind of stuff. So, but I do enjoy, like I'd say Foo Fighters are probably one of my favorite bands. Like I've always been a Foo Fighters fan. And as I've gotten older, my taste has, I guess, evolved in that I do like the heavier rock stuff a little bit more than, say, because like when I was 20, all I wanted to do was be in a pop punk band. Like that's all I wanted to do. And I wanted to write super sad, super depressing lyrics about girls and
stuff. Looks like your dream has come true.
Looks like your dream has come true, yeah. But now that I'm older, like I know that that stuff doesn't last, you know, as long. Like that, those are kind of fads in and out. But if you can write good music, like
it that's still sad about girls.
Yeah, still sad about girls. It can last longer. But I like the heavier stuff. So Foo Fighters, Soundgarden, Bush. I was a big Thrice fan too, like growing up, and so I have gotten in a little bit more of like the heavier rock stuff, especially playing with these guys. Because all the bands that I played with before were not heavier bands, and so like especially with Carlos, like as a drummer, like he and I clicked a little bit more, and I think that he helped me, like kind of change kind of how I played, because I was very straightforward, just root note kind of stuff whenever I was younger, and just followed along with whatever the melody was, because the songs I listened to, that's what they did. And then playing with him, I'm like, oh, I was like, I can actually change it up and do other things. And so that's been kind of cool.
So how long have you guys like known each other?
Not that long. I met Phil about 2 years ago.
Yeah, we have some mutual friends that knew each other that I one of his friends, I worked with his older sister, and she was like, oh, she's like, you know, Jake's friend Aaron's in a band. You should like talk to him. And I was like, oh, who's Aaron? He sounds dumb.
Yeah.
And so, but then like he was in a band that was breaking up. I had been in a band that broke up, and we just were like, you want to jam? He's like, yeah. And I was like, I have a storage unit. Like, no creeping or anything, like I'm not gonna kill you, you know, but like come jam in my storage unit. And so we did.
there was jam.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of how it all started. And then we met Carlos through some mutual friends. There's a music group at A&M called Town Hall, and he was a part of it, and the guy Marco Pisterzi that helped us record our EP was a part of it. And so he was like, oh, so I know this guy named Carlos. And then once again I was like, oh, Carlos, that guy sounds dumb. And so what's funny is that his drums are actually on the EP, but he didn't drum on them.
He was there.
But he was there at the studio with us while we recorded the EP, but he wasn't on it. So we joke all the time whenever we show up, you're like, oh, dude, Carlos, your drums sound so good on the EP. They're like, he's not on the EP. And it, like, didn't click with us. Like, we're sitting in the studio, and we're just like, man, I don't know where we're going to find it. Because the drummer that we had was just a temporary guy. And he's one of our good friends, Daniel Gonzalez. Shout out to Daniel. Amazing. One of those musicians that can play anything with ease, like plays guitar, fantastic.
Disgusting.
Can play piano. He just is really good at everything. And but we were like, I don't know, like where are we gonna find a drummer?
And there's Sip right there.
And we're just like, God, oh, Carlos, can you help us find a drummer? You know, kind of thing. And it just was. It, and then
we still ask.
And then light bulb, you know, they're like, oh hey, I think that guy can drum. Like, you know, he's got all this stuff. Like maybe he wants to do it. So yeah, so that's how we found Carlos.
Yeah. I was just sitting there just defeated. Like, I've been looking for a band for years, and I was already, like, giving up on the music life, and these dudes call me to, like, hey, we're making a record. And it's like, oh, yeah? And I'm thinking, like, maybe they want me to play on it. It's like, yeah, can we just borrow your drums? I was like, sure, that's fine. Doesn't look like I'm going to be using them anytime soon.
So. We should have just stolen.
Oh, we should have.
Probably.
And then you could have joined the band, and we could have given them back.
Yeah.
Could have bought them back.
Well, you had to join the band in order to get them back.
Yeah.
But technically, we still own.
Sure.
Is that not what still happens?
So that's how we met.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. So So you guys have one EP?
Yeah.
On Bandcamp?
Mm-hmm.
Can we find that on Bandcamp, Spotify?
Yeah, it's all over the place. We have a website, Koresco.net, and it has links to
all
everywhere.
All the things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has all of our stuff for social media, Spotify, Amazon, I don't know, whatever else.
Yeah.
Videos.
We're on the Jay-Z one. What's it called?
Tidal?
Tidal.
We're on Tidal.
At least you guys aren't like a Tidal exclusive.
Yeah.
I don't know Jay-Z that well.
I didn't even know what Tidal was until 3 seconds ago.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's where Lemonade.
Okay.
It's the only place you can find it.
Okay.
We also have an acoustic EP on Bandcamp as well.
Nice.
It's like stripped down, but we released that like right before the acoustic tour this year.
Cool.
It's just like 3 songs.
Nice. Do you guys have any like social media you want to shout out?
Yeah, it's at Koresco Music. For those who don't know how to spell it, it's Korusco Music.
We're in all the things.
Yeah, we're on
the big three things.
Instagram, Facebook, and Tinder.
We get the unlimited swipes.
Twitter. Twitter is all Carlos. He's funny. So
sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, so I've been here with Koresco from College Station. Thanks for listening.